For KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves reporting. A new book has been released focusing on the Rock Island Railroad in Arkansas. Joining us right now is Michael Hiblin. He is a news director at KUAR in Little Rock, and he's the author of the book with that title, Rock Island Railroad in Arkansas. Michael, thanks for joining us. Great to talk with you about your book.
Yeah, hi, Jonathan. Thanks for inviting me.
First of all, the question I have is, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, this is something that really struck a chord with me when I was a kid. I was in second grade when the Rock Island was shut down in 1980. And for that year, I was bused to a school in North Little Rock called Redwood Elementary. Right in front of the school was the busy main line of the Rock Island. And as a kid, like a lot of kids, I enjoyed watching trains. And I would later learn that that was a real tumultuous period for the Rock Island. And you had a strike in the fall of 79, and eventually creditors who argued the railroad was worth more dead than alive asked a federal judge to shut down the railroad, liquidate the property, and that's what happened. So for me, being a second grader, suddenly seeing what was a busy rail line right in front of my school shut down, grass starts growing between the rails, kind of struck a chord with me. And it was a few years later when I was in high school that I started actually researching the Rock Island. I had to do a research paper for an 11th grade English class. And that was the first time I actually started doing real research on the railroad. Conducted my first interview with a former employee, went down to the Arkansas Gazette newspaper in Little Rock, and started going through their clips files. And from there, it's been an off-and-on interest of mine since 1980. And in particular, in recent years, I've been interviewing former employees of the railroad to document their stories. Obviously, it's been 37 years now that this once huge railroad was shut down, and I've been trying to document as many stories as I can while those folks are still around.
Tell us about, for those people who may not know, about the significance of the Rock Island Railroad in Arkansas. Can you please tell that story?
Yeah, the Rock Island was one of the major railroads in the state. It was never the biggest or the grandest. That is typically considered to have been the Missouri Pacific, which was later acquired by Union Pacific. But the Rock Island was very important. It had a huge footprint in Arkansas. It went from east, from Memphis, all the way across the state, through Little Rock, and on into Oklahoma. It also went down from Little Rock down to El Dorado, Camden, and just barely into Louisiana. But it was a very important railroad, and it also, part of it, was what had been the first chartered railroad in Arkansas, the Memphis and Little Rock Railroad, which was chartered just before the start of the Civil War. That was later acquired by a company called the Choctaw, Oklahoma and Gulf Railroad, which just before 1900 made a significant investment in the state. They bridged the Arkansas River at Little Rock, a big grand bridge. They built a train station here in Little Rock and extended the track westward into Oklahoma. The goal was to connect coal resources in Oklahoma with the Mississippi River in Memphis. So had a huge footprint. It also had branch lines that went up to Searcy, down to Stuttgart, also at one time even went up to Newport. So it was made up, the Rock Island was, at one time of what had been 32 different railroads in the state. And as the Rock Island was growing just after the turn of the century in 1900, it started acquiring all these lines and, as I said, was very important for commerce and passenger travel in the state.
What was the one thing that started the decline for this? When did it start running into problems, and what were the factors that kind of led to those issues?
Well, railroads often encountered difficulty. It had twice gone into bankruptcy protection early in the around the Depression, and then again in the 1940s. But it always managed to eventually come out of bankruptcy. But it really things got rough after World War II. That war was big for railroads. It was an important time for shipping around the country. It's also how a lot of military troops would be moved around. But after World War II, there was a change in how Americans got around. You had rapid growth of the automobile industry. You had federally subsidized interstates being built. You also had growth of the airline industry, and no longer were people willing to, especially if they were going to be traveling across the country, they didn't want to sit on a train for a few days, perhaps. So there were factors like that. And also with the interstates, you also had less freight being moved by rail. You had growth in the trucking industry. The railroad responded to that by looking to merge with another railroad. And it was in 1964 that the Rock Island proposed merging with Union Pacific. At that time, Union Pacific was not in Arkansas. It wasn't until the UP merged with the Missouri Pacific in the early 1980s that the railroad expanded greatly. And the proposal to merge with Union Pacific also involved the Southern Division, which included Arkansas being sold to the Southern Pacific Railroad. And later there was talk of the Santa Fe Railroad. Well, when the proposed merger was first put out there, it started what was the longest and most complicated merger case in the history of the Interstate Commerce Commission at that point. It took over 10 years before this merger was finally approved. In that time, the Rock Island stopped investing in its infrastructure. It stopped especially working to maintain its track, thinking we're going to have this bigger railroad coming in, and they'll be able to take care of it. Well, by the time the merger was finally approved, in the mid-1970s, the railroad was in such bad shape that Union Pacific walked away from the deal. And the Rock Island essentially entered bankruptcy at that point, attempted a reorganization, and for 5 years continued. You had employees who were immediately realizing the dire situation of the railroad, even agreeing to take a 10% pay cut. But there was a strike 4 years later in 1979 that was really the kind of the death blow for the Rock Island. There was some national union politics involved in it. A lot of the employees in Arkansas didn't necessarily want to go on strike. The Rock Island was considered a family operation, especially compared to other railroads. But if you cross a picket line, you're a scab. It was a tough time. At that time, you had a creditor named Henry Crown who was pretty much wanting to have the Rock Island shut down. Felt, as I said earlier, that the railroad was worth more dead than alive. He wanted the assets liquidated. A judge finally agreed, and in March 1980, the railroad was shut down.
Michael Hiblin joins us here on KASU. He's the author of Rock Island Railroad in Arkansas and is also news director at NPR member station KUAR in Little Rock. Michael, as I was taking a look at your book, which is a fascinating look at this, it not only is kind of an oral history, but it's also a picture that's, or it's actually a story, rather, that's told with a lot of pictures. You have a lot of photos in this of the Rock Island Railroad, of the bridges, the bridge designs, of kind of how things were back then, and even some more recent photos that you took. Kind of tell us about how you're able to get all of those photos for this book.
It took a lot of work with entities like the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies, the University of Arkansas at Little Rock Center for Arkansas history and culture. But the best resource I had was a railroad historian by the name of Bill Pollard. He's a dentist out of Conway, and he shared with me a lot of great photos he took. He really is to be commended for, he got out there the last day of passenger service through Arkansas in November of 1967, and he took photos of the last westbound passenger train as it came through Little Rock. He also, 13 years later, when the railroad itself was shut down, he went out to Biddle Yard, which was the Rock Island's main yard in Little Rock, and took a lot of incredible photos. He also had the collection of another photographer named Clifton Hull, who died a few years ago, but had also been great about taking photographs of the Rock Island in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And he really helped connect me with a good number of the historic images that are there in the book. And you can see the decline in the railroad through those pictures. And then after the railroad was shut down, you see what happened. Much of the trackage in Arkansas ended up being abandoned. As part of my research, I was able to go through the files of then-Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton, who was in his first term of office when the Rock Island shut down. And it was a major crisis for the state. You had the state trying to find another railroad to come in and buy the trackage, primarily wanted someone to come in and buy it as a whole or maybe in two parts, and struggled for years to try and find another railroad to buy it. When there were many different reasons why other railroads didn't. It was an important route through the state, and in particular, the railroad's line very much paralleled Interstate 40 all the way out to Tucumcari, New Mexico, and but there were concerns about union obligations. If another railroad did come into the state, they would perhaps have to hire Rock Island employees, might have to pay back wages that were due. There was a lot of legal liability that had a lot of railroads decide not to buy the railroad. The state considered buying the tracks. That's been done in other states, and it went before the Arkansas legislature, but in the end they decided not to buy it because of partly there was a lot of lobbying from the competing railroads, Missouri Pacific and Cotton Belt, which didn't want the competition. And after that failed, it wasn't before long that you had much of the tracks in the state taken up. There are only a few parts of the original Rock Island main line left in the state that are in use. The Cotton Belt had trackage rights between Brinkley and Memphis, and after the Rock Island shut down, it got that, and that's now part of the Cotton Belt, has since been acquired by Union Pacific. There's also a small stretch between Little Rock and Danville, about 79 miles, and then a little bit up in the Hot Springs area between Malvern and Hot Springs and down in South Arkansas. But for the most part, the tracks were taken up and sold as scrap.
A fascinating story from as Michael Hiblin has been joining us, talking about his book, Rock Island Railroad in Arkansas, which is available now for sale. And Michael, where can people get copies of the book?
Any major retailer has it. It's available online. You can go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. It should be available in retailers in the state. I don't know how many in Northeast Arkansas are carrying it, but it's definitely available online through any major bookseller.
Michael Hiblin, thank you so much. Before I let you run, anything else you'd like to add about your book?
Oh, it's just, overall, it really was a sad story. And one key thing that I haven't mentioned, part of the problem facing the railroad and what led to the dragged-out negotiations when Union Pacific wanted to merge were federal regulations, which were rather onerous. In 1980, the same year the Rock Island shut down, was passage of what's called the Staggers Rail Act. and it allowed for a great amount of deregulation within the industry. That led to Union Pacific acquiring Missouri Pacific, Cotton Belt, and it's been argued that if the Rock Island could have survived maybe another year or two, it would have benefited from that deregulation. So we, to a degree, lost what could have benefited the state because now you have existing railroads that often are at capacity to carry freight through, and I think probably would have benefited Arkansas had the Rock Island tracks been able to be used by someone.
Michael Hiblin, thank you so very much for joining us. From KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves.